the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send the WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender.
All right, well, the West Indies are going to be leaving these shores very soon. In fact, on January the 2nd, to go to Pakistan to play in two test matches. The release says from the 17th to the 29th. Although it didn't really specify, you know, normally you get first test starts, That's not the case in terms of the release. Suppose they're doing things differently. 18 years ago, we would have played in Pakistan in terms of test cricket. And we wish the guys all the success in the world. There's no question about that. And, of course, Australia versus India. What a performance by Australia. It was like really in that last day, wickets fell at right mangoes, really. And in the end, the Australians went on to win. We hope to touch base with Jim Maxwell, the noted Australian commentator. And we're hoping to touch base with him pretty soon. So those are the big things. We want to know your expectations for the West Indies in 2025. We also want to do an assessment of their performances, certainly this year, and look at some of the other countries that have been playing test cricket and maybe do the comparison. All right, I'm Andrew Mason. Happy New Year to you. And of course, we want to welcome our very special guest already on Zoom. I see Dr. Andrew Ford, my co-host, having a drink. I hope it's water. Doc, I don't expect you to be drinking anything other than public juice at this stage. thanks, of course, for your wonderful work over the years. Fellow Wallace, who's all the way there in England, and it's good to have him on the show. And Basil Butcher, who's about to join Donald Trump on January the 20th. I know he's a big Trump man. And of course, we've also got the great man from Trinidad and Tobago. We're talking about Derek Murray. And we also have another Trinidad in the house, Amir Jangu, who's going to be talking to us for just a couple of minutes. We want to congratulate him from there and from far after a tremendous performance in the ODI when he made 100. That certainly impressed his selectors, and he is very much on his way to Pakistan. So I know his time is limited. So what we're going to do, gentlemen, is to go to young Jangu. Hello, Amir. Season's greetings to you. How are you?
Hey, man. Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Looking forward to Pakistan.
Right. Okay. Well, I normally ask the first question, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Doc Ford. We're going to change things at the end of 2024. This is a young man, Doc Ford, who started very well. He's on his way to Pakistan. Have the honor and the pleasure of asking him the first question. Doc?
Good night, Andrew, and our panel and the guests. And I'd like to say I'm wishing everyone on the island and even in the world a better year next year than 2024. Not to say that 2024 was bad, but just best wishes. So Jangu, congratulations to you on making 100 on debut. Did you lose faith over time that you would have that opportunity to play a match for the West Indies?
I wouldn't say I lose faith. I think as time went on and I see how the cricket was going, I believe even more that I could have made a team. It was just about putting the performances there, putting the numbers on the board, which I probably wasn't doing as consistently enough in the years before. But I know one good season and I would have been knocking right on the doors. So, yeah, thankfully it happened this season and it brought about getting selected for the ODI squad and now the test team.
Yeah, before we get into your exploits, looking at world cricket and, you know, a Jaiswal or Gill who would have started cricket very early and now a Costas for Australia, teenagers or just 20-year-olds starting out, contrasting that with what happens here. Just in a few words, tell us what you think maybe preventing our players from starting so early.
That's actually a really good question. I feel as though those players, you constantly keep hearing talks about facilities, level of coaching. I feel as though we sometimes fall by the wayside sometimes on that level. I think that's why those players are basically more developed. I remember being a 20 or 19, 20 year old. That's when I started up my first class career. And I look back at it and I feel as though I probably wasn't ready to play first class cricket. I don't think I was up to that standard. Mm. I feel as though I was only up to that standard when I was probably 23, 24 when I went to Leeward Islands. And it just shows that our players, we develop and understand our games later on in our careers. And I think it just goes to show that we're basically learning on the job as first class players at that level. And that's what happened with me. But it took me so long, but it actually happened. But I feel as though it has a lot to do with the infrastructure and the development of the cricket that has to take place.
Well, getting back to your match, we were struggling a bit. And when Rutherford, who's been our top scorer this year, went at 86 and 4 wickets were down, what mindset did you get into in order to try to get us to the point that we could be victorious, knowing that we had this big score to chase and a lot of our top batsmen were already out and you're the newbie at the crease. How do you control nerves versus the resolve to get us where you successfully got us in the end?
Obviously, it wasn't the ideal situation to come into bat, but at the end of the day, I feel as though it suited my style of batting. Obviously, I got to play myself in. We were already ahead of the rate when Rutters got out. And Casey was fluid nicely. So my job was literally just to rotate the strike, which really helped my game as well, to play myself in. And then from there, I just put away the bad balls that was given to me, played within my strengths. My bat spinned pretty well, and they both spin predominantly early to me. So obviously, that got me comfortable batting in the wicket. And then it was all about taking control of the game. Obviously, me and Casey, and I think Roston to come was the recognized batsman. And we did the bulk of the scoring. And obviously, Moti came in and made my job easier as well by him just coming and throwing and batting aggressively as well. Just made my job a bit easier to just retain the strike as always. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Just scoring 6 runs over. Obviously, it's difficult. You've seen in the past with West Indian players rotating strike and stuff like that. But I think Coach Sammy and his coaching staff as well really emphasized on that, and you see that vast improvement in all of us players in terms of that. So yeah, definitely a day to remember for me.
I know Philo and Basil may want to ask questions, so I'll give way to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Philo.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. You can hear me?
Yeah, yes. Loud and clear.
All right, good evening. Good evening to the panel. Good evening to Barbados. Happy New Year to all of them. All the Barbadians across the world. Happy New Year's. Welcome to my friend Hart, Carlos, Boogie Bird, and Heaven. Amir Tangu, I want to say congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I would have met you some time ago in Trinidad, when you were playing for Merry Boys.
Merry Boys, yeah.
Mm.
And I passed away now. He was on the TCCB board. Patrick Ramprasad.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he was a big father figure for Merry Boys, and he was always very, you know, he was very sweet on you. And I'm very happy that you got your opportunities. First of all, at the Leeward Islands franchise, and then obviously moving back to Trinidad and dominating. And it only goes to show what hard work can do to get your ODI debut. Mm-hmm. And then you get your test tour to Pakistan. It's not going to be easy in Pakistan, but I think that once you prepare yourself, you should be okay. You talk about late development, but I want to know from you, your mindset in relation to improving yourself as a batter from not being selected, thinking that you should be, and then getting into a my frame where you're scoring lots of runs consistently and no pressure at all on you. How did you set yourself, and what do you think that other young cricketers of your ilk needs to do in order to get into the situation that you're in, or the seat that you sit in, that very good seat? And I want to ask you if you're going to take your wicketkeeping stuff to Pakistan as well. I took my benefit as an opening batter. David Williams is the first string keeper, and I took mine. So I hope you take yours. It's exciting to keep in Pakistan.
Yes.
First things first, Mr. Wallace, it's a pleasure to actually be interviewed by you. There's lots of stories about you. It's lots and lots of stories about your batting and everything like that. So yeah, it's a pleasure. Firstly, I think I'd like to say, in terms of the development and for younger players, I feel as though we have to be willing to learn. We have to be willing to put that ego aside to know that, okay, I should be making this team, I should be on this team, and then having a bad attitude towards that. And I think when you get into that mindset, it seeps into your game, and then your cricket starts to drop. I think even if you don't get selected for a team, or you feel as though you should be selected, that's even that should be fuel for you to work harder, I believe. In terms of my development, I'm a pretty aggressive batsman. I started off playing 40 cricket, and I just used to go in one mode. No matter the situation of the game, no matter what time of the day it was, I used to bat one way. Sometimes it would have paid off, sometimes it wouldn't. And as I said, that stint with the Leeward Islands, when I worked with Stuart Williams, that's when I really learned batsmanship. I really learned how to play situations, to trust my defense. And from there is where I started to get some results. It wasn't always there, but I started getting results. And from there, I started to learn. And when I came back to play 40 cricket with Trinidad, that's when I keep bringing those things into practice and practice and practice. And that's when I realized
Just taking a little bit there, Amir. Don't know if you made a little shift, but hope we can hear you. Just shifting. Okay. While we've lost Amir for just a short while, Amir. He's just having a bit of a challenge there with your link. Continue. No, we don't have it. Okay, let's go to Derek Murray. Derek, of course, the legend, former West Indies wicketkeeper, and Trinidadian like you, Amir. I'm sure that Derek would want to congratulate you on being selected, first of all, for the ODI and going to and going to Pakistan. Derek?
Thank you, Andrew. And first, best wishes for an amazing 2025 to you, your program, all your listeners and viewers, and to the general sporting public. Let's hope 2025.
Having a little challenge there.
Making a career for himself in West Indies cricket. Congratulations on your century. And I know
we seem to be having some challenges with the Zoom.
What I can do is add to those good wishes. Hope you have a
wow. No, we are in fact having some challenges. Is it from our end?
From answering that last question.
Yeah, you did get cut off, but I guess maybe Basil could ask you a question now.
Yeah, Basil. Okay, well, we're certainly struggling here. I don't know what's the
same problem. Greetings to all the panelists. Good to see you, Mr. Murray. It's been a while. All right. Amir, you said something. First of all, kudos to you and well done for appearance 100 in that ODI. Well played. And all the best to you in Pakistan and as well as the team. But you said something that piqued my interest, something in terms of the development and readiness when you first started playing first class. What? Well, things that need to be put in place to facilitate the development of West Indian cricketers faster. So you guys are not at 24, 25, now learning your game.
Yeah, I feel it's got to do a lot with individual. I feel as though, countless times when we go to train, you find all guys' weaknesses, you find all guys' strengths. But when you go to training, you don't be working on it, to be honest. I think there should be programs in place, whether it is academies or... As in, this is for the countries itself, for their to have their own academies or to have their own batting camps and bowling camps, so players can work on their weaknesses. Because you'll see guys playing first class cricket for countless years.
Yes, Basil.
We say I know that guys may see tapes of me playing first class cricket from Pakistan. They'll know my weaknesses and strengths as well. So that's what I have to be working on from now. So I feel as though it have to start at probably even the under 15 level, to be honest with you.
Well,
not good enough. The wickets are getting wet. The grass isn't cut on the field properly. These things are hampering players. Obviously, it's up to... And what?
Well, we seem to be having some serious challenges this evening, which is a pity. I don't know whose end it's from, but certainly we got to try and solve it.
We'll get left behind. Cricket waits on no one. We know this. And then you'll see yourself being at a mediocre level. And that's the difference right there. So... It's all about putting those things in place for the younger, up-developing players. I remember playing Premiership cricket for Maryboys at age 15. Mm. You don't see no under 19 guys playing Premiership cricket.
All right, we clearly having a challenge. Let's pause for business calls and hope that
level of cricket having high standards for them and they'll understand.
All right, okay. What we'll do, let's pause for business calls and try and get this problem solved. It's very unfortunate in my view. Mason and Guest brought an association with the good friends at ASFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth. Drink it up or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 4341790. Let's apologize. We're having some challenges with the internet. I know that Dave Smooth, the technical director, is just trying to see if he can get that problem solved. We hope that can be solved as soon as possible. And certainly an interesting discussion with Amir and Jagu there. And we've also got...
Cricket, the table come here. You have
recording
to maybe
in
do
progress.
It. I know you've done really well in the four-day competition, but you're going to a country where obviously conditions are a bit more harsh than in the West Indies. Or are you going to condition yourself to do?
Last year, well, not last year, but the beginning of this year. And as obviously sticking to my strengths, obviously a bat's been pretty well, but obviously it's going to be a higher level of cricket. Guys going to be bowling plenty good balls. Got to be trusting my defense. I think that'll be key to it. And obviously I'm an aggressive batsman. I'm positive all the time. I'm always looking to score. So I think that actually plays into my favor sometimes, knowing that I always have that positive mindset. I'll always be able to put away the bad ball. But having said that, I feel as though having a strong defense will be key. But having said that, at the same time, you have to have a good balance and whether trying to score all the time. I think as though, and you can see with the way how modern day cricket is playing and test cricket is playing right now, the more positive you bat. So I think preparation will be really key for us to have any kind of a fighting chance in the series.
All right, 4417 90 4417 90. Let's maybe try and take some calls. I know that we're trying to get this problem solved. Yeah, let me apologize again.
You know, going to Pakistan. You know, some people say that, you know, we may have too many players with the ability to. As a batsman before he became a wicketkeeper, how do you feel a player with duality like yourself should consider their role?
Obviously, I can't rest on my laurels. Once I keep working on my keeping as well, if the opportunity comes that I may have to keep any test match, I have to be fully prepared. But I think Tevin and Josh are capable batsmen as well. I can only speak for myself. I feel as but I think my wicketkeeping will come on the spotlight at some point in time, maybe throughout my career. So I've got to keep working on it.
Well, there's a perception that younger players don't know the history of West Indies cricket, aren't aware of what has transpired before them, except for individuals saying that they are a much weaker version of what would have been present in the halcyon days from maybe the 60s. I don't know if you've heard this, but how do you respond to that perception of maybe the general public and people who aren't really close to cricket?
To be honest, I was like a sponge. I was absorbing everything from him, trying to learn as much as possible. We should be humble enough.
Progress.
We should be humble enough to know that, all right, you have to be learning every day. And I think the only way you can learn is by
the franchise, or may have rubbed shoulders with them as opposition in various situations. In the West Indies, we have a unique deficiency where maybe the chemistry and the way the guys come together may not be as with other countries where people may work together more. How do you think this is something that's really inhibiting our cricket? The perceptions of big islands, small islands, and having someone that was an adversary now being a teammate, is there something there that's holding us back as a group?
I wouldn't say so. I feel as though, as all of us are one region, at the end of the day, obviously on the field when we're playing against each other, yeah, you could be enemies and guys might say things to each other on the field, but once you cross that line, it shouldn't be more than that. I feel as though in a team environment, there should be a team culture. And as I said, once you know you're representing West Indies, which is like the pinnacle of cricket for me, that is, I feel it was all about beating.
All right, let's...
Goes to show what the culture. The senior guys should bring guys together. I feel that's a big thing. So when I go to Pakistan...
All right, let's pause our business cause and try to see if we can get this problem solved. ESA feel like rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. All right, let's see if there's an improvement. Derek, can you hear me loud and clear?
Difficulties with this decision right now.
I feel as though there may be difficulty, but any day should have a communication process. Obviously, me being a young player, I want to represent West Indies at any level, at any format. So if they call on me, I will play. Having said that, yeah, there are franchise tournaments, but I believe that if players have the opportunity to go and they communicate.
I start to wonder if Andrew is maybe the one who's frozen rather than us. Philo, we were talking about youth development and our youth developing a bit slower. And in Barbados, we've had the schools playing in our cricket, but we haven't seen the schools come forward and dominate as they may have done decades ago. We're giving the youngsters an opportunity, but
cricketers of this era of yesteryear, I believe that the Conboy schools of yesteryear was a more competitive cricket team. I know that the BCA, their rules are that the Conboy schools will not be demoted. When you look at the points, 24 points I think they got from an entire season of 9 games, and they're going to say to you, oh, that the main squad went to St. Vincent and the Grenadines to play on the 9 in cricket. But I think that if you're going to have that kind of structure in Barbados cricket, the schools have to be more competitive. I don't know what is happening in relation to school. Right. Get a more competitive type cricket. So when they're selected for the combined schools, they can compete at that elite division. Because the combined school, the guys who play in the combined schools, you know that they're going to go on to the youth team. I mean, slowly, they're not as developed as they should be. So they still have to come back and go through that whole retooling again by the same coaches who take them to the other 19 competition. So development is quite a bugbear across the region, and that is something. And confirm that we'll come into 2025 to help us to. Derek, can you hear me?
You're muted, Derek.
Maury, you're muted.
Still muted, Derek.
Sorry. Yeah, I was just saying that the conversations at the meetings that are happening at the moment at the CARICOM subcommittee level are to do with the governance of West Indies cricket. And that encompasses the whole gamut of cricket at different levels, but also cricket development. And how do you manage a situation where we look at development of cricket from the earliest years, primary school, and right up. So, but it's not just a question of coaching, but it's how you play your cricket, how you develop the cricketers from there to elite level. And we are very conscious that we're talking male and female cricket. It has to be done together to the extent possible. But that is an ongoing conversation. And until we get the structure of the administration of cricket right, the other things fall by the wayside because there is no answerable entity for cricket. Cricket does what it wants, basically. It's its own owner, it's its own reporting structure. And what people tend to focus on is the end product, a West Indies team in a tournament, in a World Cup qualifying situation, in a test series, whatever. And that's where it's visible to the whole public and to everybody. But you're not going to get the best standards without the development process. So we are, in a sense, as cricket administrations, our own worst enemies in trying to fix the top without addressing things at the grassroots level and at schools level. So if you're not getting the proper development, as you heard Amir say, you're waiting until you're 20, 24, 25 to get into a standard of cricket that suddenly helps you to understand what that is. Whereas a proper development structure starting in primary school will have you ready even in your teenage years to be able to compete at the top level. But, you know, it's all interwoven, but we need to know there has to be a starting point. And how do you start at that level and work up towards the top if you're going to be competitive at the elite level, male and female? You can't do it without going through the development process from the very basic levels, school, etc.
Basil?
Look, that's something I've been harping on for many years now. And this goes back for me all the way to the 90s, where I saw the deterioration. I could speak specifically more so about Guyana, which I'm more familiar with. And going back home and watching that club cricket that resembled nothing of what I remembered as a young boy going to see when my dad was still playing club cricket after he retired, and the level of competition and so on. And it has only gotten worse. Then when I speak to people around the region, I hear the same thing, you know. So for me, that has never been a focus as West Indies cricket has slid. There has never been a laser focus about our grassroots cricket, which is the foundation. And if you don't have a good foundation, the house is going to fall down. And we still have not to date, still not focused on our deteriorating club and school cricket. And we expect we can get great results if you don't have a foundation. And like Amir said, we're going to be waiting for guys to now start to learn the game when they're 24, 25. And before you catch yourself, they're 30 years old. They might have had a half decent international career. because they're going to be learning on the job now in the, at elite level, things that they should have already done, already mastered by the time they got there. So, you know, I mean, there's a big talk of the governance, which is most important, but that foundation in all the territories, in my view, it's on in the ICU.
Oh dear, Derek, I want to bring you to something which is very, very, very recent. The whole question of having one selector. You know, of course, our coach Darren Sammy used to be the man in charge of the white ball, but now he's actually the overall boss taking over. Do you like the idea of Darren Sammy being the one selector for our white ball and red ball cricket? Do you like that, Derek?
I don't think that's a feasible situation because while it is good and I'm looking to see the results, Darren Sammy is now head coach of all the various teams. I see nothing wrong with that. That could work. But I think selection needs a little discussion about who plays in what position, who bats where, how you balance the team, etc. For different games, different conditions, test match, whatever. And I think a discussion with a panel. For many, many years, we had a panel. It used to be one selector from each territory, and each selector was basically charged with getting as many picks for his territory as you could. So that gave way to three selectors who you trusted to have the thick thoughts of West Indies cricket above all else, and you tried to get a team that was representative of the West Indies and the best strengths of the West Indies. And so I favor that situation where there are two or three selectors. I am not partial to whether Sammy is part of that selection committee or not, and whether he just receives the players and does his work with them. But yes, I definitely don't think it's one person can do everything. So I think that needs restructuring. But the danger of talking like this, Andrew, is that we isolate a factor of selectors. We isolate a factor of development. We isolate schools cricket. We isolate academies, etc. And cricket doesn't work in isolation. The bowlers don't work in isolation of the batsmen. The fieldsmen don't work in isolation of anything else. So it all has to come together. And how does it come together? Under a proper structure. And at the moment, we don't have a proper structure. And that is, whether that's the starting point or the end point, I don't know. But I think that the structure that we are used to is having the West Indies board, and the West Indies board should then be able to be an umbrella body for the other territorial boards, and we all work in unison. Yes, we're competitive but at regional level, but we need to be more cohesive going into the international level. And without the proper administrative structure and the administrative foundation to produce that, we are continuing to go backwards. So if you say to me, what epitomizes the year 2024 from point of view of West Indies cricket, I would say, in a nutshell, another wasted year.
Oh dear.
Wasted in the sense that all the glamour and so you see in the T20 tournaments and whatever, and people doing well one day and not so well the next day, etc., is lost because there is no progress in West Indies cricket. In fact, I think young Basil said, that it's actually going backwards. And let me be perfectly frank, and it sounds like a history lesson, but 1985-86, something called West Indies Cricket Board Incorporated entered. And since then, this West Indies administration answers to nobody, is owned by itself. They do things to satisfy themselves. And I'm sure that the present president, vice president, other board directors don't really know what happened in 1985. Don't know what happened between 85 and 95. Don't know what happened between 95 and 2005. And we have had countless reports saying the same thing. Fix the administration. West Indies Board Incorporated does not fulfill the needs of West Indies cricket. That has to go. If that doesn't go, the rest of things that you talk about, time limits for various directors, term limits, all those sorts of things, they are consequential to having a proper structure. You don't have a proper structure. Amir says he's willing to play cricket for the West Indies first on as priority. Where's the West Indies Players Association in this? Can't they have a conversation that entails players and the Players Association supposed to be representing players? I don't know how many or who are members, etc. But they should be able to say, look, if you have a contract for the West Indies in A, B, and C formats or all formats or whatever, how are you playing and justifying those contracts? But you also want to go to franchise tournaments, and I have no problem with that. But that also has to be structured. Amir Jahangir cannot come into the West Indies team yesterday and be expected to say, I'm going to play in the IPL, but I'm not going to play in the Toronto League or the Multan League or the countless other leagues. That's not his decision. He needs to be guided and assisted. And I'm not talking rocket science, because I see every other test team playing their best test team, and yet their players going off to play these franchises where they get big money. I have absolutely no problem with that. But you can't be going in to a Pakistan tour and finding out when you're picking the team that Alzari Joseph is not available, Shea Hope is not available. You have to know in advance, this is what is happening. There are countless fixture lists all over the place. I don't know where to find it, but Jahangir is supposed to know. And he's supposed to have somebody representing him who tells the West Indies board, listen, these players are available anytime you have a test match, but they're not available when you have a T20 because they're playing in something else or whatever. All I see from the West Indies Players Association is a two-line thing saying the following tours are approved and the following tours are not approved. I have no idea what that means. So good luck to Amir if he could work it out and if he could not offend anybody. And by anybody, I'm talking about the board directors, so-called directors. So he has to keep them happy because they are his employers. But he also wants to keep his playing colleagues happy. And he also wants to be able to develop relationships in Big Bash and wherever there's the big money and so IPL going. Fine. He needs to make a living. He has 10 years to do that. So who is guiding him? Is he on his own sitting down in his room thinking, boy, I wonder if I should go to Pakistan. I wonder if I should hold back and go somewhere. What does a no objection certificate mean? You know, all these things have to be discussed. But I can't discuss this with you, Andrew, with all due respect, because we don't know what the West Indies Incorporated, this incorporated entity, is doing who actually owns West Indies cricket. Legally is one thing, but we know the people of the West Indies own West Indies cricket. And therefore, it should be transparent.
All right.
Who is doing what? So right
now, I'm going to ask a question.
Situation, sorry, let me just say one more thing before I let you all jump in. You have a situation where six territorial boards, remember a territorial board is a group of people, individuals, own a share each. But a president and a vice president also own a share. I am not a whiz, so I don't know whether it's equal shares, whether the vice president has one vote with his one share as vice president, but also has a vote as president of a territorial board. So you might have different people with different votes. And remember, the so-called independent directors, whatever that means, don't have a vote in voting for things. So who owns what and who runs what and who does what? And cricket is a public good. Sorry, let me stop there and maybe...
Philo, just before you come in, there's been someone holding for quite a long time. Let's take this call and come straight back to you, Philo. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Yes, well, Happy New Year to you, because we are on the cusp of it now.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too.
I must say that Mr. Murray there, that he have got a similar line of thought as me. Now, I said all along, the West Indies is a full member of the ICC. And all the other members that's released their players to go and play in the franchises, maybe except India.
Mm-hmm.
But the one clear thing that is common among all of them is that when they want them, they have to come.
Right.
Not mass on maybe, or they have to come. And I'm saying that the West Indies need to get that same benefit that all the other teams getting. Whoever we got out there, and we want them, because we not going to want all this 10, 12 men. You might want just 2, 3, or maybe even 4. I don't think you need 5. But you must be able to get them when you want them to. You can't be playing in something and one body getting a benefit and you not getting it. It got to be an even playing field. So that the West remaining up top, and we don't 19 jack. Because as a full member, we are not getting all players when we need them. Now, tied to that is a no objection certificate.
Mm-hmm.
I all along call on the governments in the Caribbean since 82 to put some money there to help all players that they say they was going to do when we had the Rebel Tour. Now, when a player is out there for a franchise, and you need him, you got to be able to pay him what he would lose. So I'm saying the same money they get him from the no objection certificate, put that wrong side to pay the players, and don't use it for nothing else. If they can't get the governments to put up the money, then that money got to go back to the pay the players that they would need, so that we would be guaranteed that we can get our best players every time. And that is basically what been fighting us from the time that that was introduced.
In fact, let me say something here. The release says Shamar Joseph will continue and in relation to Alzari Joseph, they're saying will be unavailable due to other engagements. That's what the release said. Can you imagine that?
Well, you see, no,
Alzari Joseph will be unavailable due to other engagements. What does that mean?
That is utter foolishness, utter rubbish. US Indies must have first choice.
Yeah, I agree.
must have first choice, just like the LFL members. So I'm saying that the players would need to get compensated for what they would lose, and it going to come from someplace. And if the government's putting it up, then make certain that whatever come from the no objective certificate
right.
go straight there to pay who we need where we want them.
All right.
And I'm hoping that this would be our New Year gift that we would get our best players out there because they're still out there competing and doing well in the franchises.
Right.
But we can't get them together to get our own team.
We need
to get that there done, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And I can leave that with you because you demand that they get whatever you want.
Yes, that's true. Sometimes.
So I'm leaving that with you.
All right.
You have a nice night and a nice year.
Happy New Year to you. I think we got Carl Hooper with us. Hello, Carl. I see iPhone there. Hello, Carl. So, Carl?
Hi, Andrew. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. How are you? We want to see your face. Can we see your face? Oh, come on.
You want to see this? Yeah?
Yes. There's a gentleman in the studio called Ronnie Clark, who's a big Manchester United man.
Rubbish.
Liverpool,
top of the league.
Nice to hear you, Carl. It's really, really nice. How are you? What part of the world are you?
I'm in Adelaide.
Oh, Adelaide.
First, let me say season's greetings. And I know it's not quite New Year yet for you guys.
Right.
But here's to a happy and prosperous 2025.
Wonderful.
I know on the panel you've got Doc, Philo, Derek. Oh, Amir was there for a while.
Yes.
Am I missing anybody? Season greetings, lads.
Yes.
And it's good to see you.
Right. Okay. Now, when you come into the Caribbean, when you come to go to Berbice to have some pepper pot, when you come into Ghana?
Hopefully in March.
In March.
March or April, I want to get home. Yes. Yes.
Right. So what are you doing in Australia, Carl?
We're in the midst of BBL. We had a game last night.
Wonderful.
We went down pretty badly to the Scorchers. We've been struggling a little bit. We've had some injuries. We've actually had also Fabian Allen here. But unfortunately, he got injured, I think, in the second game. So he had to return back to the Caribbean. I saw Shea. I think we played him the last game I saw him. He looks good, batting well.
Beautiful.
And hopefully we can have him playing some red ball cricket for West Indies pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So what's your role there? What are you doing? Coaching? What are you doing?
Yeah, batting coach for Adelaide Strikers.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I know that the panel is excited, certainly, to speak to you. Let's start with you, Dr. Ford, your good friend, your favorite batsman. I know you used to go to Kensington Oval just to see Sir Carl bat. Dr. Ford, is that true?
Yeah, well, certainly we want to see some more classical language, elegant batsmen like Mr. Hooper. But I want to the first question is retrospective. I want to know if he was surprised at the adoration that he received in Barbados, having, you know, being Guyanese. You know, there's some people that feel that islands don't love each other or there's some rivalry, but was he surprised at the way he was received as a player here and when he played?
I don't know. I mean, I've always had a good relationship with Barbados. I think from as a schoolboy coming there, you know, from since then, I've had bad times too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's one of the plays that I was booed, as Andrew would know.
Yes, I know. I remember that very well. Yes.
Look, Barbados is a fantastic place to play cricket, a very knowledgeable crowd. And, you know, back in the day, they used to say if you don't score runs against Barbados, then you really can't play. So they were the benchmark team. So maybe that's why I sort of try and raise my game every time I played against Barbados.
Well, I guess you're in Australia, so you're watching some wonderful test cricket there. You know, you see a Steve Smith and Khawaja, and you see players now that are in their 30s that are producing, and you also in the latter part of your career, you know, performed even better when you were captain. Let us understand what it's like being a seasoned older player and still having the drive and pushing to still get better.
Well, I think the thing about it, when I'm just speaking about myself, I think batting, it takes a while to understand your own game. You know, you could have all the ability in the world, but I think sometimes it's almost like on each and every day, it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. You assess conditions, and then you figure out what are the high percentage shots. Not that you can't play the others, but what are the high percentage shots that's going to give you some success today? And that took a little while to really sort of, not for me to accept, but for me to totally understand. And then I suppose the point that you mentioned about you know, producing a bit more when you were given a role of leadership. I mean, I thrive in those environments, you know, with the Guyana team when I was given the captaincy there. And then I suppose, you know, the brief stint that I had with West Indies, you know, I enjoyed it. I like having to lead from the front and build things. So, you know, it's something that I would cherish. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity not only to play for West Indies, but a chance to lead them, albeit briefly.
Mm. Well, having encountered and endured criticism and the perception that you weren't trying, and even now, for I mean, like you'd hear a fellow talking about the modern day players, what's it like for a player who is trying their best and who's talented to, you know, deal with the perceptions of the public and maybe even some people within cricket that they're not giving of their best? And this is a constant thing when a team or an individual is struggling, when you're down. What's that like?
Well, I think about it, I think I've grown, and I think I'm much older now. I understand that talent is not enough. It takes, because when you get to that level, everybody can bat and bowl, or you would assume that most players can bat and bowl and feel and catch and do all the basics really well. So it takes a little more than that. I think your mental approach has got to be on point. Having said that, you need the talent, you need the skill. So as I've grown older, and now I suppose if I put my coaching cap on, I've grown an appreciation for being able to, I think you want to, what I encourage players to do now is to take control of your game, take control of your own development. You know, when you walk out to bat, or when you've got the ball in your hands, you know, it's you and the batter, or you and the bowler. You've got to know about your methods. You've got to be 100% sure in your methods and what you want to do. I think we hear a lot now about, you know, coaches and what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that. I mean, I'm a big believer that your structure does most of the lifting. I think I heard Derek Murray saying earlier about the structure and so on. And I think I'm a huge subscriber to that. You need solid structures in place, or else it's a waste of time. You go around in circles, as they say, you spin and tap in mud. Structures are critical. And I think more importantly also, by extent, some of the policies that the various governing bodies might implement as far as developing players. But just to get back to what you're saying, you know, I've really grown an appreciation for, you know, as a coach for, you know, encouraging players to develop your own game, you know, take control of your own game. You still got to work with your coaches, but take control of your own game and be responsible for it.
Just
before you go, stay with us, because we now found Jim Maxwell, the noted Australian commentator. I'm sure, Sir Carl, you would have worked with Jim Maxwell. Hello, Jim. How are you? Good morning to you.
Hello, Andrew. Yes, it's New Year's Day here, about 10 o'clock in the morning. And Happy New Year to you and to everyone in Barbados.
Right. Okay. Well, your reaction to the big victory by Australia, I mean, on the last day, it looked a little dicey, but then things really happened quickly for you. Australia with a big victory over England. So over India, that should be 2-1, and you now go to Sydney, and you got an excellent opportunity to wrap it up.
Well, Australia hasn't won this Border Gavaskar trophy for a decade, so they've got their nose in front after a very good, a compelling performance. I mean, really, other than when they're a bit underdone and India played well in the first test, Australia's dominated to a large extent since then, with the pink ball in Adelaide, the better of a washout in Brisbane, and now this, with the game a bit tantalising going into the last day. Did Australia have enough? Had India muffed their opportunity by dropping five catches in Australia's second innings after they had them 6 for 91? But then the wicket of Pant, as it did in the first innings, proved to be a trigger point, and Australia just crashed through the last seven wickets, going for 43. The Australian bowling attack is pretty hard to deal with in the pressure of the game, mm-hmm. going into a fourth innings in particular. And India's batting, you would have to say, in its last 10 matches has been pretty marginal. And the disappointment for them is that Rohit Sharma can't get a run. He's averaging 10. Mm-hmm. And Virat Kohli gets very flirtatious outside the off stump and nicks off. So he did that again. So Australia, with Cummins and Stark and De Boland doing most of the work and Nathan Lyon chipping in, they've got a wonderful quartet of bowlers. And the big difference in this game was that Australia took their catches and India didn't.
Mm-hmm. Carl, have you been following the series?
Oh, very closely. Mm-hmm. We've had, and by the way, hello, Jim. Good to hear from you.
Jim?
I've had the pleasure of working with...
He's a bit in the distance or off the mic or something. I can hardly hear him, but hello, and I hope you're well.
Yes, I am. Yes, I've been following it very closely, Andrew. We've had, four fantastic test matches, and, I'm looking forward to the fifth one. The Aussies, as Jim correctly said, has been relentless. India, we know, have got some exciting young players, but this Australian team is a team that doesn't give an inch. So they've made it very, very difficult and uncomfortable for the Indian batters.
Yeah. Jim, I know your time is tight. In relation to Bumrah, how good is he?
Well, he's the best bowler in the world. 71 wickets in the calendar year is fairly extraordinary, particularly from India, where we've been so used to over the years seeing spin bowlers of high quality. But really, since Kapil Dev, we've had a number of very good pace bowlers, and he's without doubt the best. He'll go down whenever the time comes. He's 31 now, so probably another 3 or 4 years. A bit more longevity and get him up towards 300 test wickets, and he's up there with the greats. But it's still a sort of review period as we wait for him to get to that moment, and when we can look back, as we do, on a Tendulkar and a Lara and a Sobers, you get a better idea of what they've achieved when they eventually retire. But what he's doing for India is just extraordinary. 30 wickets at about 13 mm-hmm. in this series is a compelling performance.
Yeah, I certainly want to get a reaction from Derek Murray and from Carl Hooper, because there's been some talk that Bumrah is better than Marshall and company. Let's start with you, Derek. You agree with that?
I've not seen him in person a lot, but his figures are really impressive. I believe he has better figures, better strike rate, all these things that they measure cricketers by nowadays, a lot of ratings and rankings and so. But again, it comes down to the fact of individuals performing on particular days. And this conversation is really interesting, all due respect to Jim Maxwell. But once upon a time, the benchmark for cricket would have been West Indies cricket. We're talking about Australia and India producing a fantastic sextet series. Isn't that wonderful? And we are now looking back at a Bangladesh series where after the first test, which there was a lot of rain in and lost time, and we totally seemed to me to demoralize the Bangladesh team. And West Indies took advantage of them, sledged them, Jim Maxwell will know that that's the Australian way. They sledge all the batsmen. Everybody looked like they were afraid of their shadows. And then they come back in the second test, and it looks totally different. What is it that Bangladesh did in between the first and second test match to totally annihilate the West Indies? We need to concentrate on that. But I too, like Jim, I have to go. Good to talk to Carl, all of you guys. Basil Butcher brings back some memories of his old man as well. But I really sincerely hope, from the point of view of West Indies and world cricket, that West Indies cricket is able to get its act together. Not necessarily on the field, that will happen from time to time, but in the structure of how we administer the game, how we structure the development process, how we develop club cricket, regional cricket, all of those things we have to get right in 2025 if West Indies cricket is not to become irrelevant. So I am hopeful, ever the eternal optimist. Good luck to everybody and good luck to cricket in general, but West Indies cricket. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thank you very much indeed, Derek Murray, the legend, being very much with us. We thank you very much indeed, and all the best for 2025. Thanks, Derek. Have a good night.
Okay, guys. All good right. Night, everyone.
Right. Okay. Carl, let's go to you. This big talk about Bumrah being better than Marshall and Garner. Your reaction to that?
I mean, I don't like to compare Bumrah's. Bumrah's very good. He's exceptional. But I'll probably be a bit biased, and you know,
I think we lost him a bit. Jim, while we get the bias, Carl, let's go to you.
Once I watched Mako, yes, and then I had a chance. You have a chance to.
Carl, just hold it a minute. Hold it.
Yeah.
Continue, Jim.
Yes, well, you get a better measure of it all when we get to the end of the road. But certainly at the moment, Bumrah is without doubt the number one bowler in the world. And if you watch him bowl, he's relentless. Mm. He's hitting the pads, the stumps, the outside edge. You don't get much relief. A bit like Marshall at his best.
But yes.
Bowled much the same. He just gave you no freebies. Nothing of a length to try and attack front or back foot, and did enough with the ball to put you under the microscope and made you worry about surviving. Mm. And that's what's happening against Bumrah. What he needs is a bit more support. The rest of the attack is not looking so good, and that's probably the reason why India are in the position they are now, apart, as I say, from the quality of their batting, which looks a bit stronger from about five down than one up, other than Jaiswal.
That's very true. Carl, we were talking to you just now about Bumrah and the comparison with Marshall and Garner and company. Carl? Is Carl still with us? Okay, I think he's frozen. We're going to try to see if we can get him. We're going to certainly continue our conversation with you. And we're not going to keep you too much longer, Jim. Kohli, is Kohli very much in the decline? Are we seeing the end of Kohli pretty soon, you think?
Well, these numbers suggest yes. If he doesn't retire, the selector's hand may be forced. I mean, it's a big call to say to a bloke who's had such a magnificent career and ongoing reputation that this is the time. But India do have some very fine alternatives to Kohli, maybe not as good. But, if they lose here in Sydney, I would think that's the end for Rohit Sharma especially, and Kohli as well. Perhaps, but they don't play any more test cricket until mid-year in England, so there's a few months to think about it.
Yeah, and your young opener had a little bit of a brush there with Kohli.
Oh, well, that was stupid on Kohli's part. He was very lucky that he didn't get a much stronger censure from the match referee. I don't understand the rules regarding that kind of behaviour, but he deliberately walked off his line and shouldered the young batsman. It was a pretty ordinary moment, and the crowd did remind him of it as the match went on.
Yes, 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 indeed. And the last test in Sydney, you expect any changes from the Australian side?
Only through injury. I think they'll keep the same side if they can. They've got a slight concern about the fitness of Stark, who's got a bit of a rib tickle, whatever, but I'm sure he wants to play. The real question at the moment is about Marsh, whether or not he keeps his spot. But the old saying in cricket is, if you can't improve the team, you don't change it.
Mm-hmm.
They've just had a huge win. And if nothing else, Marsh's catching is outstanding, even though he struggled to score runs and he hasn't bowled a lot. And I suppose you could also argue that he's just keeping that seat warm until Cameron Green comes back, and you'll probably be seeing him in the West Indies later this year.
Yeah. Our final question, the crowds have been absolutely fantastic. I mean, the interest is tremendous, isn't it?
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, 373,000 people over 5 days in Melbourne. There's never been a crowd like that, in certainly in Australia. Wouldn't have been in too many other countries, I would have thought. Certainly since Bradman in 1937 on the same ground, 350,000 turned up for that match. But this is where we are heading with the Indian popularity, and particularly with a number of Indians living in Australia now, and they've got plenty living either where you are in the States,
yes,
Canada,
mm-hmm,
in India, who love to come and visit. So I think this is the start of a chapter in the Border Gavaskar Trophy, where we will certainly see in Australia for these test matches bumper crowds, and we'll get very good crowds in Sydney, but nothing like that, because 40,000 is about the limit at the SCG these days.
All right. Jim, thanks very much for coming through and talking to us, and enjoy your morning.
Okay, Andrew. Have fun. Enjoy your cricket and the conversation.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. Jim Maxwell, the noted commentator there, talking to us from Australia. Early morning for him. And it's really great to hear from him. Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we can try and take some calls. 441790. And of course, Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, your time to call, 4341790. We're going to try and solve one or two little problems. And once we do that, I know that Carl has got to go off to the airport. So we're going to maybe get a final comment or two from Carl before he goes. Carl, I know you're a very busy man. Carl, are you with us?
Looks like he has no audio.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
You can see that on the screen.
Oh, no audio. Okay, so
he's badly today.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my end. I don't know if it's from my end, too.
It's not from your end.
No, it's not your end.
It's not from my end?
No.
It's not from your end. It's from the studio end. But, Carly, I think Andrew wanted to know if you had a final.
Let's go to the phones, Andrew.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We're having some challenges. 441790. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night to the panel, and Happy New Year in advance.
Happy New Year.
I hope that West Indies get some common sense in the new year. Now, Mr. Mason, tell me, how many captains, because I heard the president and I heard another moderator speaking to the fact that Mr. Sammy was a good captain. How many captains have made good coaches?
How many
anywhere in the world?
I have to think about that one. How many captains have made good coaches?
Not a one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Not one that I can recall. So being a captain does not make one a coach.
Right. I agree.
So to just say that, he's a captain and he can do this and he can make people probably play in another think if a man does not want to play test cricket, look for somebody who wants to play a test cricket. Don't try to bring a fella to play when his heart is not in it.
Mm.
And this is a mistake that we are making. And one other thing. Now, young Kevin Wickham averages 40.
Right.
Django, or Django, whatever his name is, averages about 30. Now, how come that Kevin Wickham haven't gone to that whatever spin doctor thing overseas? Why was it he considered then for test cricket, seeing that his average is way above Django's?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, I certainly would have invested in Kevin Wickham. I think he's the best young batsman that we got. And, you know, I'm very sweet on him. And I think even in the ODIs that we played against Bangladesh recently, having made 100 for Barbados in the Super 50, he should have gotten to the side. And he's doing well. And I know Dr. Ford talks about him a great deal. He's a young cricketer I think we should really invest in.
So, all right, gentlemen, have a good one. All the best. Give somebody else a chance.
All right. Okay, can we take another call? Yes, we can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Happy New Year. I've got two questions for you tonight. I didn't know it last week, right? But last week when Miss Barton get the more, they had a lot of talk about it. But those certain men know it's very cruel. They can't go around them, right? But this demotion thing with the elite, I talked to a player of the West Indies. I asked him, you feel that the school team should be playing cricket all the time? I feel the school, if the school can't get demoted, they shouldn't be playing. Why was BCL removed from the first division in the first place? The second one is here now. You got Dan Sammy controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
That means we going to see Lloyd, we going to see Fletcher and Jonathan Charles in 2025.
I hope not.
I do every time in 2025, I do the ball something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one I got to tear, Andrew, I hope that everything work out good. I can't remember the term I got to tell you now. But anyhow, I do want to see Sammy should got this. The whole post right. Reset. He's a McGuffey. That he could pull all the shots in the world. Right? But for Philo, I know Philo feel bad. And my tech man for change, I feel bad too. You know who you mean?
Who's that?
You know how he feels next? Huh? I can't call you here because you know for me. And it's me. But I don't feel like we should see Fletcher and Jonathan Charles no more. I feel that's the end of that.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your contribution.
Thank you very much.
Let's try and take another call. We can. It's 7:36 in the country. Hello. Welcome, Mason and guests.
Peace be on to each and everyone. Mr. Mason, I just called to wish you all. I'm blessed in the spirit.
Are you back? Are you back from Dominica? I want to know your business.
Yes, I am back and my peace has passed.
Your peace passed?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
Died on the 2nd of December and buried on the 13th
or the 14th of December. Oh, my sympathies. Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Well,
It's
life is definitely something we all have to face, but it is hard when it comes.
What is your wish for West Indies in 2025?
I have no comment. I know you would have asked me that, but I have no comments to me. I just fed up.
You're fed up?
Yes, I just hoping for the best, but... I have no comments to make. I don't listen not till it finished because I've been hurt so many times. Yeah. As the song Tom Jones was saying so. I just let it take its course. I hope someday we'll be able to bounce back, but it ain't seems like that. One day we win a game, the next day we lose.
Yes.
Last week I was trying to tell you that it seems like 1 year, all two teams winning, the ladies and the men, and then the next time all two teams losing. But the women, to me, the women doing well.
Mm.
You know, all their thing, they're doing well. And I wish the best for everybody.
Okay.
But I have no comments to make. That's better. All the best to you.
Thank you very much indeed.
And everyone.
Happy New Year.
Barbados. Same to you.
All right. Do we still have Carl there? We can't. I know, Carl, you got to go. So we're going to wrap it up with you. In terms of...
Yeah, Andrew, I'm here.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just getting ready while we speak. Go on.
Okay, good. Now talk to me. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel in West Indies cricket, Carl?
Boy, I'm optimistic. I remain hopeful. Yes, it's frustrating, but, you know, I think I'm on board with what Murray is strongly trying to emphasize about structure. I think if you want anything that is sustainable, then we've got to put good structures in place and good sound policies.
Mm-hmm.
Or else if we don't do that, then it's going to continue to be sporadic, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you win a couple of games here, the optimism rises, and then we crash again.
Mm-hmm. And final question to you. One selector, you like the idea of, say, Darren Sammy being the selector for red ball and white ball cricket, or you prefer a different system?
Well, I just don't think our system is strong enough right now to support that. I mean, when you're doing that, your system has got to be really strong. Our system right now is very, very weak. So let's see how it goes, but I don't think that's the answer.
All right. Well, say finally to all of your fans in Barbados, I'm sure you want to say something to them. And of course, by extension, the people of the Caribbean and by extension, the people of the world, because people listen to this program all over the world. Final call.
Yeah, well, you know, Happy New Year. Stay safe. You know, Barbados is a place where it's very dear to my heart.
Yes.
You know, and like I always keep saying, it's one of the very few places, even after retirement. I mean, I can remember we came down there quite a few times. The hospitality extended to me and my family was, you know, second to none. When we came to play some Legends cricket, I think even one time I came when Sir Garfield Sobers celebrated, I think it could have been his 80th birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it coincided with I think it was a holiday in Barbados. I mean, we were treated really well. So, you know, Barbados always have a special place in my heart. Everyone try to stay safe, stay healthy, and all the best for 2025.
Beautiful. It's a pleasure talking to you from down under there. Carl Hooper, of course, we call him Sir Carl in Barbados. Have a good morning, because I think it's... What time is it there now in Australia? Where are
it's
you?
Just gone 10 o'clock in the morning.
Just 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
On New Year's Day.
On New Year's Day. All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed. Right.
Stay safe.
Getting all interesting. Bye-bye. Indeed. Basil Butcher, we got some calls lined up. What kind of year was it for the West Indies? Were you happy or not quite?
No, as I said last week, it was Nichols was even more thing, but not. It was a typical West Indian year. I mean, you know, we in the tests, you know, 2-6.
No.
ODI 500, 6-6, and the vaunted T20s, we were 14-12. So there's not a lot you could take from there. And then when you look through at the performances individually, our top test batsman was Hodge with 516 runs at an average of 28. Next was Athanase 418 with an average of 24. Then Braffitt at 372, an average of 20.
Mm.
And De Silva, 622. So here we are, our top five batters, nobody averaged 30.
Can you imagine
in test
that?
Cricket.
Oh, dear.
And then, and then when we get to the ODIs, you had some decent performances, if you will. Because one, Mr. Rutherford has found himself in the short list for ODI Player of the Year.
Yes.
And he made the IPs, ODI 11. He was second with 425 from 7 innings. Number one was Carty with 510 from 11 innings with an average of 62. Rutherford's average is 106.25 with a 120 strike rate. Hope comes in at 311. With an average of 34 with a strike rate of 78. King, 291, average of 32, a strike rate of 83. Evan Lewis, 284, average of 56 and a strike rate of 115. And in the T20, the top performers from a batting perspective was Powell, the captain, at 533. With a 135 strike rate. Then Puran, 464 with a strike rate of 142. King, 407, strike rate of 140. Hope, 354 with a strike rate of 163. And Charles, 344 with a strike rate of 139. Right. Our top test bowler was Seals with 35. Our best ODI is Alzari. Him and Moti got 15 wickets each. Moti was our top T20 in terms of wickets, took 26, and Hussein took 23.
Fido, when you look at those stats, look into your crystal ball, tell me what are you seeing, Fido? Particularly for the test cricket, it's very average, Fido.
Well, we'll be ranking the test standards, Andrew. We're not 9th or 10th.
Yeah.
So what Basil just read there is proof. Here we are. It is very West Indies cricket is very confusing, Andrew. And for 2025, you know, I heard Derek talk about governance and structure and structure and structure. But if there's no foundation, you just don't have a structure. We're taking the apple and we're going to put it into a lime tree and expect to bear oranges. And it's not going to work. CWI has removed some critical components in our cricket and they need to go back to the drawing board and come clean and try to rekindle what has to be our system. Mm-hmm. If you look at our ball performances under Darren Sammy, there's nothing really shouting about. But yeah, you're taking this guy now and giving him the red ball squad that is below par.
Mm-hmm.
What is Darren Sammy going to bring to our red ball squad that is so drastic from what Andre Cole has been doing that is going to lift us? What experience does this guy have coaching a red ball squad that you're going to give him this red ball squad that is dear to us? We just saw in Australia, over 300,000 people watched Test match cricket for over 5 days.
Yes.
So Test match cricket is not dying. If you have quality Test match players, you're going to get the crowds. The crowds follow exciting cricket. And that is how I see it. We have to build on getting excitement back into our cricket and getting our cricketers to understand their skills. We just heard Amir Jambu. We just heard Karl Hooper, who's a coach in the Big Bash. He's a level 4 coach. He gets players to understand and own their game. Does our coaches have those skills to get our players to understand their games, to go out there and play out of freedom? You know, nothing. A squad has been selected. You read a release. We have no interviews, no press conferences, but they're going off to Pakistan. And these things are wrong. And nobody is going to put money behind a product or players that they do not know. And that is something that CWI needs to address. And not terms of extending terms on a board is going to help our cricket. Our cricket needs more than that. I wanted to ask Derek Murray, when he was a West Indies cricket board director, if we had these problems. If we had these same problems 20 years ago, I want to know, because same directors are sitting, you know.
Yes.
Not disrespecting them. The same Mr. Condé Riley, and the same Mr. Enoch Lewis, and the same all whoever sat on that board are still there. The sitting president was a director before he became vice president. I want to know if these problems were there before or these problems that have come in the last 4 years. So what are these directors doing with all cricket? And now government talk, structure, governance. And I think that we need to look seriously at what we want out of West Indies cricket. And who are to benefit. And to me, the players should be benefiting out of West Indies cricket. We have an Australian cricket board, and we don't know the directors, but we know the Australian cricket team has been every game. We don't know the Indian cricket board, but we know that they go there and play good cricket. It comes to a point where we have to sit down and be honest with ourselves. Where do we want our cricket to go? And who are to benefit from the cricket? And it is sad to see our cricketers in this state heading into 2025, and we're changing coaches again and giving one man the whole hog, and he's the only selector.
Mm-hmm.
How could that be right? And then you're telling me that directors have sat down and said yes to these kind of decisions? I would like to know how the directors voted on these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
How could it be that we want our cricket to go forward and one man has all the say in our cricket? One man, an average player who led us to two World Cups. How could we be going forward? I thought it was changing. No, it doesn't. No, Andrew, I'm very serious.
Yes.
Andrew, and it's something that needs to wake up, even our women's cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we met the semi-final in the World Cup, and everybody said, this man is great. He's doing wonders. Now we come back and say there are problems, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I want to ask you, when these problems occurred, were these problems just occurring in here, or these problems were always there?
No.
And nobody knows how the women are structured, what they're doing, nothing. And they'll be told, and John Brown is still involved.
Mm-hmm.
A failed selector. Can a board sit down and make that appointment? How could these things be right? I want all cricket to rise. God is rare for damage, Andrew, but you don't sleep.
Right.
Called karma.
Yeah.
But you know something, Philo and Andrew and Doc? I saw something, a video today, and during the, there was a rain delay, and AB de Villiers went into the dressing room, the South African dressing room, and the guys, all of them, he joined in with them kicking the soccer ball. But what that told me, that was something that was organic, and it was normal in past eras of West Indies cricket, where a past player would be comfortable and the guys would receive him with open arms because they revere these players. They want to hear from them. When I saw that, such does not happen anymore in West Indies cricket.
Okay, 4241790. Let's try and sneak one or two calls in before we say goodbye. Can we take a call, Ronnie? Ronnie Clark, the Liverpool man. Hello, welcome. Hello.
Good night to the panel.
Oh. This is Dr. Ford's favorite caller.
You know that?
Actually,
I saw him took his pen out to give me 10 out of 10.
When was that?
But blessings to all the guys. And West Indies have to learn to play a consistent cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And start recycling people all the time, and our cricket will get better. And if you are writing off Virat Kohli, you can write off the West Indies team altogether. Virat Kohli will score 100 in the next test. Class is class and form is temporary. Remember I told you all that, right?
Yes. All right. Thanks for your contribution. We're going to try to sneak some calls in. 441790. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Good night. How are you?
Good night to you. Where are you calling from?
Oh, Andrew, you took my number last week you were to call me. You never called me.
Oh, well, my apologies.
I'm here in Toronto.
Toronto. Well, you know what? I will make sure that Ronnie takes the number and I'll give you a call. Sorry about that.
Again.
Again.
Wise man,
yeah, talk to me. God.
I just said holy golly. Yes, Andrew. I think, Philo, I must say happy new year to all your panelists. First, I must give a big shout out to Dr. Ford, who run the show when you're not there as well.
Thank you.
Carl, I hear my good buddy Carl Hooper there and my good friend Philo.
Oh, it was good to hear Carl, eh?
Yes, and Philo. Philo has just touched some very important points there. Very, very important. It's one mannerism like communism running West Indies cricket. We ain't going no place with our cricket, Andrew. I said that last week. And for instance, you have a team going off to Pakistan, no press conference. What is going on?
In fact, the release says we'll be playing two tests from January the 17th to the 29th. You saw that, fellow? Oh, my golly.
Do you have the team?
Yeah, the team.
When I come off the radio, could you announce it, please? Let me write it down, because I'm not happy what is taking place in West Indies cricket.
You're not happy?
No. I'll be honest with you. I will put West Indies cricket in four men hands. Derek Murray, Andy Roberts, Michael Holding, and Gordon Greenidge to run the cricket.
Interesting. Well, the team is Craig Brathwaite, captain, Josh De Silva, vice-captain, Alec Atanas, Casey Carty, Justin Graves, Kevin Hodge, Tevin Imlat, Amir Jangu, Mikael Louis, Gudisus Moti, Anderson Phillip, Kemal Roach, Kevin Sinclair, Jaden Seals, and Jamal Warrican. That is the side. That's it. That's the squad. You like it?
What happened to Shai Hope? He's not playing red ball cricket anymore?
Well, he hasn't played for a while. The question is, does he really want to play?
Andrew, we have to find somebody to get this guy to play red ball cricket, man.
I agree. I agree totally. I agree with you.
We need quality cricketers, man.
Mm-hmm.
We have the talent, but we're not moving, man. Mm-hmm. Something is wrong. We're stuck.
I agree. Just one final thing. One final thing. When you come into the Caribbean?
I was in Barbados this year, man. I was there for the finals.
Oh, yeah, for the finals. Oh, wonderful. Didn't show me our Dr. Ford?
No, you were busy collecting money from Mr. Dougal James, so.
Oh, yes. Okay. You're talking about business. I like that one. Yes, good old Dougal James there. The president of the St. Vincent Cricket Association.
Yes, man. Yeah, it's my good friend who was sitting in stand together and then.
Right. Indeed. Yes, indeed. NBC took the commentary.
Thanks, all the best to you and all to all your
right. Let's try to sneak two calls in before we go. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Hello, you listen to the radio.
All right, guitar the radio off.
But please do.
Hey, go on.
Talk to me.
Andrew.
Yes.
I was hearing something on the United Kingdom sports that Iran, are you done with it?
When did you hear that? Did you hear anything?
I hear announcing that this morning.
Who's on
this? 100.7 FM.
Okay. Have you heard anything, Philo, about that or Dr. Ford or Basil? Sir, there's a lot of fake news around. You know, got to be careful.
No, I hear coming out of the United States. I mean, out of England.
Yeah, but fake news comes from England too.
On the sports channel.
Okay, you gotta be careful. I mean, we haven't heard anything at all. Somebody mentioned it to me as well, but I mean, I haven't heard anything at all.
I believe you will go and check me.
Yeah, I've been checking, but you haven't heard anything, right, Philo, or the guys? The fellas have not heard anything at all.
Okay, we'll hear you,
course. Anything of such.
Right, okay. Thanks for your contribution. Can we sneak to another call in? We can head into 8 o'clock in the country. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night, sir.
Good night to you, sir.
Good night. I just want to have a look there.
Sure.
I think, man, that we, this West Indies cricket ain't going nowhere without wicketkeeper. Honestly.
Oh, Josh De Silva.
Yes, man.
So you would not have taken De Silva to Pakistan?
Yes.
You would have played.
Going nowhere with that, man. Something seriously wrong, man.
Call a hold your horses. Call your whole. Let's go to Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford, you think De Silva is lucky to be in the side?
I think when you look at world cricket and what wicketkeepers are asked to do, I think he's a bit deficient with the bat when you compare him to a Carey or the others. But I would say that this team on paper, I haven't been around for the whole history of the West Indies cricket, but with all respect to the guys in the team, it looks like the weakest team I've ever seen.
Dear.
And I think we do have issues with, you know, with the production of players. And also getting our best team on the park is one of our biggest problems. And having the six islands involved and yet having franchise cricket to get us from one place to the next and the CPL, I think there's an issue with trying to get what the participant islands are trying to do and then trying to produce a team. But then that's even made worse because we can't get the best players to participate.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Definitely we need to look. We need to look for a wicketkeeper batsman that would be of international standard, I think.
Philo, we got just another minute and a half left. So let's come to you, Pakistan, West Indies. Look into your crystal ball. Can we beat Pakistan, Philo?
Andrew, to beat Pakistan and Pakistan is going to call for a big effort. Pakistan has just shown us when they play at home what they can do. They just beat England as well. So we need to be careful how we go to Pakistan and prepare. It's not going to be easy. And the squad, obviously, again, is hinging on Craig Bradford's back in, which has not been at his best.
No.
I know Mikhail Louis has been doing a lot of work in sick kits. You know, he's been doing a lot of work with his batting in sick kits, from what I know. But you still have to go there and perform. But at least they're going there early, and hopefully they will really put in the hard work that is required. It's just a two-test match series.
Right.
You have to put in the work that is required to bring some respectability to our cricket. Test match cricket is not good. Not good at all.
Final word with you, Basil.
Needs improvement.
Final word with you, Basil Butcher. Can we win it? Look into your crystal ball.
Once you get on the field, there's always a possibility of winning. But we're gonna run in. I mean, if Pakistan may do like what they did to England and set some pitches there that turned from ball one. And, you know, us playing against good spin is a big Achilles heel. So, because they're not going to be having their top fast bowler, Afridi. He is sitting out that series also.
Mm-hmm.
So they may set some pitches like what they did to England in the last two tests. And we're going to struggle against top spin bowling.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen, working with you. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford. Thanks to you, Fellow Wallace and Basil Butcher Jr. It's been really great having you. Thanks to Derek Murray, who's with us. Carl Hooper. So good to hear Carl Hooper. Very, very popular in Barbados. Can win a seat anywhere in Barbados, even in St. Philip North. Of course, Amir Jangu. It was good to hear from him. He's going off to Pakistan. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bye tomorrow. It's good night.